Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
No. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Lon George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from Texas Star Grill Shop, 2405 South Southwest Freeway. Come on out. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. I'm still 3, and the bees will be here until 6. Great time to get a new grill or a green egg or a pizza oven, whatever you need for Memorial Day. I know a lot of people, it's one of my favorite, one of the number one reasons why I needed a grill was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Because I love days like that. 4th of July, Memorial Day. I want to have people over. I want to grill out. Want to do stuff like that. So it's a great time to come get one if you live in the greater Houston area. They have free delivery. Lots of great deals going on right now. And if you just moved into a new home or you want to expand your backyard and get a kitchen out there, they have free design services as well for outdoor kitchens. However you want it, they can do that for you and get you all set up. So great, great time to get a grill and come out and see us at Texas Star Grill Shop. And Cecil will make you some steak, too.
Yeah.
All day. So, Jose Abreu.
Nice burp.
Sorry. I try to get away from the mic.
Do it into the mic. The show shows that you're eating well and drinking
what's
well.
What's the funniest thing you've ever done into a microphone?
I've definitely burped multiple times.
Oh, one time?
It's a compliment in some societies to burp, Joe, but you're uncultured,
yeah.
Unlike me.
I guess
man
like
of the world.
So now it's like I love Matt Thomas, but I can. One time I was doing a show, I was producing it, and it was an accident. I promise. Matt knows this. I was really tired. It was right after Joseph was born, and I had just gone back to work. And I left my microphone on, and like while they're talking, I let out the biggest yawn of my life over the air.
I like it.
It was the most embarrassed I've ever been doing the show.
Why is that embarrassing?
Because
you added content to the show.
I definitely did add content.
I mean, honestly, a real host would be able to adapt to that on the fly. Was Matt Thomas able to adapt?
They were.
On the fly?
They were. They did a good job.
Who was the other person?
It was Rossi.
Okay.
But yeah, I yawned in the middle of their segment. I wasn't sure how Matt was going to handle that.
Wait, it's a three-person, one-person show?
Well, they have two people, Ross and Matt.
But Ross doesn't get his name on the show?
Nope.
Huh.
Does not.
Interesting.
And he's the co-host without his name on the show.
I think Ross deserves his name on the show.
Me too. I also agree with that. So yesterday, Dana Brown said that Jose Abreu will get some time in Sugarland. He said when he was asked about coming back, Jose Abreu coming back, he said potentially this weekend or early next week. Timing and load seems to be getting right. Better at bats, 2 AAA games, and take it from there. So he played in the Complex League again today. It looks like he went 1-for-4, I saw. So he's got a 902 OPS in the Complex
Hell
League.
Hell yeah.
So like, he's crushing it.
He's effing it up.
Yeah, big time.
Mm-hmm.
He's back.
He's grilling it.
So it sounds like he'll at least play Friday and Saturday, or maybe Saturday and Sunday for the Space Cowboys. And then he comes back early next week, you think? You think he's back like middle of next week? When do you think we see Jose Abreu as an Astro?
Next year.
I wish.
I
mean, I wish the answer was never.
If he's coming up to Sugarland, I imagine that they're going to give him some time there.
Mm-hmm.
The real question is how much time, because the longer the time that he's in Sugarland, the more potential for him to not look so good in Sugarland,
yeah,
not seem so ready in Sugarland. So I wonder if they almost have like a preset amount of at-bats for him to have at the AAA level before sending him back out.
He said at least 2 games. He said 2 games and go from there. That means to me, like, if he crushes it in 2 games, he's coming up and he's playing Sunday. I heard Dell and Sean talking about this. I don't know their exact reasoning. But they said their show's belief was Friday next week, May 31st. Paul, I think that makes the most logical sense. If you're not going to bring him up for tomorrow's game, for the next three games in Oakland, and you're going to send him to Sugarland first, how could you, as an organization, make the decision and think it's the right idea when you are trying to fix your season and you have a four-game set with the Mariners to say, that's the series I want Jose Abreu to play in? I want him to play? Because Joe Espada and Dana Brown are speaking different languages here a little bit. Dana Brown said it's Joe Espada's decision. I think John Singleton's our first baseman. Joe Espada is saying, well, he made the adjustments, so to see those adjustments, he's going to have to play. That to me sounds like someone that's going to play. I'm not playing Jose Abreu against the Mariners.
I wouldn't want to play him against the Mariners either. Their pitching is the best in the division and arguably the best in baseball, 1 through 5. I think statistically they are. Mm-hmm. I think it's subjective afterwards if you don't believe in facts. I think with Abreu, too, the worst part about this is that Espada seems to be making his decisions based off of what Jeff Bagwell is relaying to both he and Dana Brown. And I'm sure there's some video that they're getting so they can look at this as well. But they're not communicating with him one-on-one, I would imagine. Maybe they're talking with him via text, but they're not, you know, in the moment getting to converse with him. And I wonder how those conversations are going between Jeff Bagwell and Jose Abreu, too. It's a pretty weird spot that the Astros are in because the communication side of things, which has been something that people have used to criticize Joe Espada already this year, you would think that there would be better communication from West Palm Beach for a guy who's making almost $20 million a year, who's getting put back into the lineup. And if Dana Brown is saying John Singleton's our first baseman, but Joe Espada is saying something else entirely, and both of the things that they're saying are based off of what Jeff Bagwell's probably telling them for the most part, it's concerning. And it does feel like there's not a power vacuum. It just feels like the chain of command is a rather nonsensical one right now.
Yeah, from the 713 here, no way Abreu makes his first start in Houston, which is what I was saying about May 31st when they play the Twins. He and his management will like fools on SportsCenter. Okay, I hear you. I would agree with this texter and say, let this person come back on the road against a lesser opponent. But they're clearly not sending him right to Oakland unless they pull a curveball on us.
Yeah.
And he's on his way to California right now. Like Dana Brown said, he's going to play at least two games in Sugarland. So if he were to come back, he would come back on Sunday. So he has to fly from Texas to California, play in Oakland on Sunday, and then go up to Seattle and play. And I'm like, well, I don't want him in the lineup. Because there is a confidence factor in this. And you mentioned the pitching. It's one of the best rotations in all of baseball, if not the best, honestly, for Seattle. And, like, I don't want Jose Abreu to make his return to the lineup against that level of competition. Make it easier. Wait for Minnesota. Like,
yeah, because what happens if he stinks?
Then he's... Dude, I...
That is the thought of what will happen, no matter who he goes up against, but... If he stinks against Seattle, what happens to his confidence? Does everything that happened in West Palm Beach just get flushed down the toilet immediately? Does feel that way.
I wonder how long do you think he gets? Do you think they give him like 2 weeks?
I feel, what do you mean?
Like to show that the adjustments that are made are going to work. Because even if he struggles right away.
I think they're going to platoon him. I feel like they're if Dana Brown's saying that Singleton's the everyday first baseman, or at least he feels that way, I feel like this is going to be something that Singleton has to keep playing well to continue to stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that Singleton will continue to pinch hit for Abreu at times. And Abreu's going to have to get on a hot streak.
Yeah, I'm good with a platoon.
I don't know how they would determine the platoon, though.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
Is it like specific batters that, specific pitchers that he's had past success against that they decide, hey, we're going to let him play this game? It's a pretty tough spot to be in where you're having this guy forced back onto,
your 26 player
roster,
and the assumption is that he's going to play a good amount of times. That's a pretty crappy place to be in.
Yeah.
If you're a Spada.
Yeah, it's not an easy decision. Like,
cater to Bagwell. You got to cater to Crane probably in some way, no matter your reservations, if you're a Spada. And Brown's already showing that he's got reservations.
Yeah. And especially when you look at the history of this organization, at least the recent history, the reason why James Click's not here, partially I think the reason why Dusty's not here is because they didn't do exactly what Jim Crane and Baggy wanted to do. Jim Crane wanted Starling Marte. They didn't get him. That kind of started the downward spiral of James Click. Even though when you look at James Click and what he's done, Phil Maton, Yiner Diaz, he acquired Mauricio Dubon, and you can give Dusty credit for that one as well. Like, there are impact players that have been on this team that those guys acquired. Dusty Baker wouldn't play Yiner every single day, but it kind of worked out for the most part with Maldi, I will say. So if you're Joe Espada and you're Dana Brown, you kind of have to be in fear for your job of, if we don't just say yes, sir, then you might not have a job very long. That's a bad place to be.
Yep.
And it leads to bad baseball, for sure. But I don't know what the answer is either, Paul, to a platoon, but I hope it's a platoon, if anything. Because, he's coming back, so he's going to play.
Yep, and again, I hope it's as late as possible, and I hope that his reps over Singleton are as limited as possible.
Yeah, with everything being said, my guess is that he will actually, just despite all of this, he'll play all four games versus the Mariners and have zero hits.
Grinding coffee and whiskey comments on Twitch. This team is so stupid if they actually do this bleep. I think that's the consensus opinion of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to listen to your fans when making decisions. You're supposed to be confident in the decisions that you're making. But how in the hell can the guys at the top be confident in this? How can Jim Crane be confident in this? How can Jeff Bagwell be confident in this? It's clear Dana Brown doesn't seem that confident in this. If there's anything that we learn from Dana Brown, the guy is a man of proclamations.
Yeah.
And he did not proclaim
that
Jose Abreu is back in there. I'm sure Espada is skeptical as well, but perhaps is sensing that with 2 months into the year, his job is potentially in jeopardy, so he doesn't want to say anything that steps on the toes of his bosses. But no one should feel any good, positive, confident feelings about bringing this guy back in. It's effing crazy. I get that they have to do it at some point, but
no, they don't.
They think that way.
Jim Crane, yeah. It's
they spent this kind of money on him. You're going to keep him in the minors. You're going to keep him in West Palm Beach all year.
Because they're not going to DFA him, clearly. I mean, maybe if he's this bad and they really try it and they play him, and Jim Crane and Baggy say play him every day. That's where it's almost I'd be okay if he played every day. If there was some kind of under-the-table agreement of hey, if he really just sucks, we'll actually just eat the money and move on. But they're just not ready to make that decision yet. But I don't think that'll happen either. I think there's a better chance Jose Abreu just goes back to Florida for another month at some point this season than they cut him right now. They're just going to keep kicking the can down the road. Very random question here from the text line, Paul.
Yeah.
Is your real name Paul Gallant?
Yes. Maurice Gallant.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Been on the air here for 12 years.
I see the whole the texts are asking this question.
No one does fake radio names.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
Unless you're a jackass.
Yeah. Unless you're on a music station, even then, that doesn't really exist.
Yeah,
anymore.
The music station people do that, but I mean they talk for 5 seconds.
My buddy did that. He
that's gotta be the life. His name is the easiest job in the world. You just toss from one track to the next to the next.
His name is Dominic.
Fake phone calls in to yourself.
Yeah. His name is Dominic.
They were getting paid 6 figures for that gig.
And he his first radio job out of college, we don't like Dom or Dominic. So your name is Nick. Nick Allen. And I'm like, I call him. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? I'm like, that's not your name. I'm like,
the boss told him he had to do that?
His boss told him. What? That's so stupid. I'm like, why are you working for this clown? He also was working in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, doing country radio. And I'm like,
Do you think that your buddy is talented?
He's good. He's out of the business now, but he did a tough journey. He did Wyoming,
There's a Harry Chapin song called WOLD he should listen to.
He did. He went. He worked in a.
He'll get depressed. I get depressed whenever I listen to
him. He worked in Midland.
Oh.
Covering
Permian? Midland's our rival.
Yeah.
They in Midland. That's my favorite part of Friday Night Lights.
He's worked in like
every Booby Miles scene.
Those are great scenes.
This doctor's from Midland. They ain't trying to look at me the right way. They're from Midland. I'm going to play.
Better show, better movie.
Movie's better. The show is great. It is great, but it's a soap opera, and it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
The movie makes me, I'm still working on this.
Yeah,
I barely
drank mine, but
you
set it right there.
My
Why
God,
not?
I'm going to be the second radio show in a row where I'm going to be tanked by the end of it. But no, Friday Night Lights, the movie, makes you think about if you played high school football, that feels the most like having played high school football.
Yeah.
The TV show is fun, but again, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I kind of want to start binge watching that again.
I think
get back into old habits of watching shows I've already seen.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Were you okay with it before we go to break when Michael B. Jordan joined the show?
Dude, I thought it was great when he joined the show.
I thought it saved the show.
I mean,
because some people don't like it. I'm like, why? I thought the show was much better when he was on it.
I thought that was an interesting way to give the series a shot in the arm, to have Coach Taylor get fired, for him to go over to the dumpy school, East Dillon, and for them to try to resurrect with Michael B. Jordan, who has been, I mean, can you imagine being on two of the best TV shows of the 2000s? Because he was on The Wire when he's just a baby.
Yeah.
And he was also on Friday Night
Lights. He also looks like a 14-year-old.
In The Wire?
No, I think even Friday Night Lights, he looks like a child.
He filled out a little bit. I felt like he looked like an adult.
He still looks so young in that show. All right. I didn't watch it live, so I watched it years after it ended.
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
I watched Friday Night Lights before it was cool to watch Friday Night Lights. I was watching that in
college. I'm a bandwagon jumper.
In 2007, I did not have a TV at college for my first semester at Syracuse. So on my iMac, I would watch on NBC, which was actually the first, I believe, of the major TV companies to start streaming their shows online. And Friday Night Lights was very good, but it was one of those shows that actually, I think, got canceled and then somehow got saved.
I think that's when like Michael B. Jordan came out.
No, it was season one. It was season one at the end of the show. Mm. They were going to cancel it, and then somehow, some way, it got re-upped.
Okay.
Great show.
There are dumb things we do in this business. Mount Rushmore, List Radio. There's a lot of dumb things. I think the industry has jumped the shark, Paul, on one topic.
On one topic?
I think we finally have gone, or ESPN specifically.
Caitlin Clark?
No.
Harrison Butker?
The NFL versus the NBA and who can play in what sport. We'll get into that next year. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59.
So yesterday I saw this clip going around of RG3 and Austin Rivers crying at each other. We're talking about this stupid NFL and NBA topic of who can play in what league, how many guys can. Paul, I think this might be the dumbest thing that has happened to sports media. I think this topic is finally where I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, why? It's still going? It's still going. It's been 2 weeks of this topic. Like, Mount Rushmore's fun. I like Mount Rushmore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This? No. Same for me.
The problem is people keep on asking questions about it, and guys keep responding.
Yeah.
And I think that deep down, both sports think the other sport is either, in the case of football players, they think that the NBA is full of little bitches.
Yeah.
And basketball players think that football players aren't nearly the physical freaks that they believe them to be. And both are right in their own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, basketball players, for the most part, are like 6'4" and above. They're bigger than just about everybody on a football field. But football players are right in that. I mean, you got to be a real, real tough person to get all the way to the NFL level.
100%.
To not be afraid of getting hit, to withstand getting hit as well. You know, there's a genetic factor to that, too. You can't, you know, we've seen a lot of fast guys that start off in the league, and then next thing you know, say Tank Dell, like an injury sidelines them, and you're hoping it's just a one-time thing. But yeah, the most recent example of this, Joe, yesterday before the start of the show, I had my TV on, and it felt like they were trying to set Austin Rivers off on get up, because Josh Allen was asked about his ability to play basketball.
Didn't he say that, like, he could give, like, 6 to 7 minutes?
He said he could give 6 to 7 minutes, which is crazy to say.
Well, but even then, like,
Josh Allen is, for quarterbacks, a remarkably athletic player. Honestly, it's why every single team in the league should be looking at guys like Josh Allen, who can move, who are physical, as opposed to, you know, your standard pocket passers who just stand in there. But Josh Allen is 6'5", 237. That is huge for football. It's pretty big for quarterbacks. That's top percentile. 6 to 7 good minutes?
I mean, but Paul, like, that's no minutes. Do you remember, do you know who?
He did, he was the leading scorer on his basketball team in high school. He pitched on the baseball team, but if you take a look at his Wikipedia, that's the only reference that they have to his basketball playing ability.
Do you know who Nate Williams is?
No.
So you know what? Either do I, Paul. But according to ESPN.com, he played in 22 games for the Rockets this year.
Uh-huh.
He played 5.9 minutes per game. I don't even know who that is.
I don't either.
Josh Allen could play 5.9 minutes per game. The guys who play less than 7 minutes per game are nobodies. Jock Londo played 14 minutes a game.
I'm not going that far. So, okay. We could
all play. Because, like, they don't even play.
But, okay, you can get on the court. That's one thing. But, like, are you going to be a complete liability when you're on the court?
Well, it's only 6 minutes. So what if you are? Like, he's literally, like, you're the 15th man on the roster.
Ask Al Horford with the amount of times that the Pacers were trying to do stuff against him specifically.
True.
Mean, yeah, 6 minutes. 6 minutes is a long time to be out there.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I get why, and this comes up.
6 minutes at the end of a game, which is a blowout. Okay, fine.
I do think the funniest...
No, I think that's disrespectful to basketball players. Just like I think what Austin Rivers said about football players is disrespectful. Like, both of you guys, listen, you're full of it. You're confident, athletic people. You've been so successful in one sport to the point where you got to play at the highest level, and you deserve credit for that. But this idea that you definitively could go on this other court, go and prove it before anyone believes you. You should have to say that. You're saying this? Okay, cool. I could say the exact same thing, and technically I'd be just as correct as you, even though I'm a nothing athlete.
Come on, don't say that about yourself, Paul.
I would be just as true me saying that, because I'd have to go out and prove it. Everyone talks, talking. You know what? Lace them up. Go actually effing do it.
Yeah, it being sparked yesterday by the Josh Allen comments, I just thought was crazy, because
But the reason that happened is because some a-hole thought it would be a good idea to ask that question during a nothing time of year.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it gets back to the lazy-ass, very highly paid, I'm sure, producers for all of these Speak for Your Pizza TV shows who said, let's have this as a conversation, and let's try to get under Austin Rivers' skin and make him angry for content.
Yeah, it's I don't get it. I hope we're getting really close to the point where, like, we can just be done with this conversation, because it's to make it such a big deal where, like, Josh Allen even saying this, like, they're acting like it's the most insulting thing in the world.
People,
like,
aren't creative.
It's not like Josh Allen is saying he's going to drop 30.
Not everyone can be a star like me.
I know.
And just
we all wish you could
pull
be
things out of his ass to the point where, you know, I can just fill 3 hours or something like that. But, like, this is – these conversations, I suppose, are like, this is what happens at the barbershop or something like that. But I think most people with a brain realize that football players – do different things than basketball players. And while some football players have played basketball before, some basketball players have football before, the idea that one could just cross over into the other professional league be good routinely for 6 to 7 minutes a night in basketball, for 10 to 20 plays in football is crazy. Until you actually do it, shut up.
I don't think we'll ever see it either. I will say, like, just in general, though, not to specifically those two sports, I don't think we'll ever – do you think we'll ever see another Deion?
No.
Again? I don't think so either.
Like, I don't think anyone will allow it now.
Yeah.
Especially with how paid players are compared to where they were in the early 90s. Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, what they did was so cool. It really was. Deion was flying on helicopters from games.
That's so cool.
I mean.
So cool.
It really was.
It's awesome.
Like, he's going from the Atlanta Braves to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
It's
like,
really funny.
I went, like.
I don't even know how far the Georgia Dome was from wherever the Braves were playing at the time. But, I mean, it's hilarious.
Like, people love Shohei. Imagine if there was a Shohei in basketball and in the NFL.
Do you want to know who the most recent player was to doing a little bit of both?
Who's the
Russell
guy?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Wilson technically played with the Yankees and played with the Rockies during, like, their spring training.
I mean, are we sure it's not Tim Tebow?
Wilson was a very good baseball
Tim
player.
Tim Tebow was playing in the Mets minor league system.
That's true.
And then the following year was in training camp for Jacksonville for a cup of coffee.
That's true. I do think
Tim Tebow, the greatest athlete of our generation.
I mean, he became a circus freak at the very end of it.
Oh, he's a joke.
How dare you?
He's
not a joke.
He's just not, like...
You don't get to walk this back.
I hate the Tim Tebow baseball thing. He was not good statistically.
It's not his fault that they let him play.
It's not Tim's fault, but it's Tim's ideology of what he thinks of himself. The fact that he even got to go back to Jacksonville. It had been like 8 years since he was in the NFL.
They gave him the opportunity.
I know.
Because they wanted to exploit. Like, again, Tebow's not a joke. Tebow is, in my opinion, the most successful college football player that we've seen.
Agreed.
In years.
30 years ago, it feels like.
People hate him because they ain't him. I love Tebow. Now, I'm biased because I'm a Florida Gator fan, but Tebow.
I think he's the
greatest. Tebow's slander's overplayed. Yes, he wasn't an NFL player. There's lots of other college quarterbacks like that.
Yeah.
And he weirdly gets lambasted over all of them because he was not able to make it work at the next level. People were annoyed by the religion side of things and the fact that he seemed to be like Captain America out there.
Yeah, it's not his fault. Like, my annoyance from Tim does come about the how much coverage he got when he was blocking punts for the Jets. Like, we heard in Bill Belichick's firing/retirement press conference that it was the most cameras that had been there since they signed Tebow. Like, it's definitely not Tim's fault. Like, he is, and also I agree, I think he's the best college quarterback we've ever seen.
Call him a joke, sir.
He's a post-college football joke.
Sir.
I just hope he's in the college football game. That's all I care about.
No, because it's been years.
You don't think they're going to bring back old school teams? I hope they do.
It's EA Sports.
I hope they do.
But it's EA Sports.
Well, they do it, but they do it in Madden.
It's EA Sports.
So he'll be back.
Maybe 3 years from now.
Oh, no. I think
they're not going to roll out all the features every year.
I think in the Ultimate Team they will.
No, because
like, that's like the big cachet. That's what people pay for. That's how they make all their billions. Because you get to pay to play with Michael Vick.
Transactions.
Yeah, you get to, like,
you know,
Michael
I didn't really
Vick.
Think about past players being used in the game. Past players being used in the game would be something, but how many people are going to actually license that? How much would it cost for them?
That's what the question is. Like,
yeah, I don't know about that.
It's all about
if they do that, cool. But I hate Ultimate Team.
All right, it's the worst.
I don't understand.
I don't get
it. If you're going to play it, isn't it more fun to build up your own program? I think it is, at least.
Yeah, Ultimate Team in any of the games has never been something that's like caught my attention. I've tried it. I'm like, this is not for me.
Damn, Joe.
Oh no!
Some bad news for you on the other side.
We're not talking about this.
I think we need to.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll save Deep Steel Blue Pill for the other day because I know what Paul wants to talk about.
I just saw it on my Twitter.
We're gonna get to that next. Junior Bronco. This next segment's for you. There's also another Chicago question that Paul wants me to address today.
Oh, so many.
That we
renounce Chicago. Why haven't you renounced Chicago?
Well, Paul's gonna try to get me to do that.
Renounce Lori Lightfoot now.
I renounce. She sucks. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59.
Joe.
Yes.
Caleb Williams.
Oh, no. Can we not give an Astros update first?
If you want to give it, why?
The Astros are not playing today.
What an update. What a filibuster.
I'm not done yet. I'm not talking about
that. Sounded like you were done. They're not playing today. Thanks for the update. What, you don't want to hear that Caleb Williams sucks.
The Yankees have defeated the Mariners 5-0.
Hell yeah, dude.
So the Astros have moved to 4.5 games back.
All right.
Of first place. And the Phillies, who have the best start since the 2001 Seattle Mariners.
They've been really good.
Just got out of a bases-loaded jam by the Rangers. They lead the Rangers 4-2 going into the bottom of the seventh.
Hell yeah.
So
dude.
Off day, but a good day maybe for the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about this garbage where I get blamed for talking about Chicago sports.
I brought it up.
I'm going to drink a beer.
Report. Bears rookie Caleb Williams struggled mightily today with the starters.
Oh, no.
With many, quote, near interceptions, end quote.
Oh, no.
Williams completed just 3 passes in 7-on-7s.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Most of the passes were completed to the flat, and Williams held on to the ball for a long time. That's per at CHGO_BEARS, which spells Bears.
And it stands for Chicago.
Their account says, we make it more fun to be a Bears fan, and they tweeted that out. So,
yeah.
Joe,
well,
your Lord and Savior for the Bears had a bad day at the practice that Bears reporters were allowed to go to.
Yeah.
All right, I just played bad cop. I'm going to
just
be good.
One day. Look, Paul, just one day at a time.
I'm going to be good cop for you
one
here.
One day at a time. Best defense in the NFL. The last, you know, 6 games of the season, mm-hmm. after they got Montez Sweat,
mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams is just gonna keep learning.
Yeah.
You know, at least he's not in a quarterback competition like CJ Stroud was last year.
Yeah.
I don't mean that, Texans fans.
That was lashing out irrationally, as the kids say. Yeah. So look, buddy, I got something for you.
What
OTAs, no. It doesn't matter.
It's OTAs.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Let me tell you that. You want to see a mental breakdown?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you if we clicked on the replies to that tweet, we'd see it.
Oh, definitely.
Like, you want to talk about the most sensitive group in the world?
Yeah.
Jets fans, one. Number one on my list.
Bears fans are two?
I think they're pretty close.
I think Patriots fans are number one. I think the Patriots.
Oh, sensitive?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
really?
Anytime someone from Boston hears about the cheating thing, they lose their mind.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. There was a time where I cared very much.
That sounds like Houston fans.
No, because.
I mean, if it wasn't for Astros fans, the Athletic probably wouldn't exist because they hate Reed almost everything they do, from Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick and others.
They cover other things. I don't know about that. I will say though that Patriots fans are very, very sensitive about the accusations, and especially until they were able to win the last couple of Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were really triggered by anyone bringing up Spygate.
One of my best friends from growing up.
I'll admit it, as a Pats fan.
Paul.
Yep.
His name is Nick. At 2:39, he just DM'd me. The same tweet you just read.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And said, when do I hit the bust button?
Right now. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Like, I cannot believe that he just DM'd me on Instagram.
No, it's not about being right. It's about being
right
first.
Right now,
it's about,
as we're talking about this.
About being firstest and loudest.
I'll be lastest
and quietest
with Caleb Williams.
Call him the bustest.
Never.
The bustiest of the busts.
He's my savior.
Nah, man. You just jump. The shark. No. This is the day. This is the day
it's
to become officially a Texas
it's
fan.
Not
you're,
the day.
You're a Texan season day. Ticket holder,
it's
and you're not,
not
even a Texans fan.
And I
like tell me you're pandering without pandering.
I mean, come on. Jerry called me a panderer the other day on Twitter. I thought that was really
out of
line. I thought that was really out of line.
You just pandered a little bit ago.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, like the Athletic only exists because they piss off Astros. You 100% just pandered.
See, text line here, it says Eagles fans are the most sensitive.
No, they're just a-holes.
I think they're losers.
Oh, damn, you're calling half my family losers. Okay, Joe.
Except for the ones that are related to Paul Gallant. I always forget that. I mean, they throw batteries at Santa. Come on, man.
Just because my mother chooses to throw batteries at Santa is no reason to get mad at her. That's her personal choice. It's America.
Hey, I got your mom a gift today, okay?
You did. You got her a golf towel.
I did, with your work logo on it.
to remind her of why her son lives 1,000 miles away from her.
Or it'll be a positive reminder each time she steps up to putt.
I FaceTimed with her this morning. She's trying to get my my godson, who's about to be the second child. He's about to be the oldest child.
Yeah.
So my sister's giving birth at any minute to child number two, and he's been cranky today. I think he senses that he's not about to be this special boy anymore.
I'm nervous about that.
Are you going to do a number two?
Oh, yeah. Probably next year.
And I mean, by number two, have a child, not kaboom.
I'm going to take a dump. probably next year, I think.
Okay.
Or the year after. I don't know yet.
maybe you have to talk about it with the wife.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 31. I don't want to be changing diapers at 40, and we want to have three kids.
That might be me. If it ever happens.
I just don't want to do it, man. Like,
yeah, I don't really either.
What's the other Chicago thing you want to talk to me about? Drug dealer.
Oh yeah,
the cartel or whatever.
I can fix her too, I think. But
Paul, please don't.
Well, I would like to fix her.
I don't want you to.
An Indiana beauty pageant, maybe we need to ask Vanessa.
This is a Chicago story.
Has been indicted in Chicago and linked to a major drug cartel. Glennis Zapata, 34. Okay, she might not think I'm too old like a LinkedIn girl, was crowned Miss Indiana Latina in 2011. Now she is named in an indictment by a federal grand jury in Chicago and is facing trafficking charges. She is accused of transporting hundreds of thousands of dollars in drug proceeds. Damn. Recently, she'd been working as a flight attendant. That's the way to do it. But according to federal authorities, she was also attending to the movement of drug cartel cash on board jetliners into Mexico, including a private jet. The jet landed at the Gary, Indiana. Of course it's Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like the
dumpiest city in the Midwest with 20 pounds of coke packed in several suitcases. Cartel operatives arrested in the private jet have already been prosecuted and imprisoned. According to the new indictment, she's charged along with her sister, 33-year-old Elenis, also from Lafayette. Oh, so this is really a story I should be asking Vanessa.
Well, I will say, like,
how does your state let this happen?
How does my home state let their state be ruined by that trash state? I don't know.
The trash state. Damn, dude. Fighting words.
I mean, all the illegal guns that are in Chicago come from Gary.
Gary, Indiana?
Yeah, most of them.
I've seen pictures of Gary, Indiana.
You can't purchase. It's like you can barely purchase guns in Chicago.
Oh.
They'll come from Indiana.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's like all the bad stuff comes from there.
Gary, Indiana pictures are depressing.
A buddy of mine from college lived there, and we went like to go meet his parents and just like go for a weekend to go see him in his hometown. And I was like driving. I was like, what are we doing with our lives? Like, what are we? What, like, we could be at a bar downtown Chicago right now. We're driving to Gary, Indiana. Why? Anything else you want to dump on before we go?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Also, Chicago once elected Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah,
multiple
idiots.
Times.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Could it?
Have you seen Lena talk? All right, when we get back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about garbage time. That's next here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Guys, Pendleton Whiskey is the best. It's the best whiskey in all the land. You know why? Not just because it's smooth, not just because it's refreshing, not just because it's an amazing choice for your Memorial Day weekend celebrations. It's also because of the way that it's made to satisfy your inner cowboy. One, the finest northern grains. Two, it's cut with glacier water from Oregon's Mount Hood. Three, barrel-aged American oak. You blend it all together and yee-haw! You're going to unlock your inner cowboy because this stuff is steeped in true Western tradition. You can get Pendleton Whiskey wherever you get your whiskey, your local liquor store. You can also order it via Drizzly. I love this stuff. Blend it with a little bit of coffee. Ooh, it's a nice mixture. Iced coffee and Pendleton whiskey, I'm telling you. It's really good. But Pendleton whiskey is fantastic stuff. It's true Western tradition. Get you some for your Memorial Day weekend celebrations today.
ESPN 97.5.
Back to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Texas Star Grill Shop on Shepherd at 59.
Final segment for us here at Texas Star Grill Shop, Shepherd and 59. Thank you again to Gus and Cecil and everyone out here today for having us. You can come in right now. You can save up to $500 on a Traeger, $800 on a Blaze, up to $900 on a Weber, up to $300 on a Gosney pizza oven, so you're going to make some pizza at home. That's for you. Up to $200 on the Napoleon. They got huge package deals going on right now for the Big Green Egg. Free delivery inside or in the greater Houston area. And if you want to build a kitchen outside, they offer a free design service for all outdoor kitchens. So if you want to do top-of-the-line grills, cabinetry, all of that, you can. They will help you design it, figure it out. Gus even told us before the show today, if you're lefty or righty, whatever works best for you, they will help you make sure it's the best outdoor kitchen you can have. So thank you guys again for coming out or for having us today. It's been awesome. Great time. Good eating. And good beers, too. Thanks for supplying us on some St. Arnold, boys.
Hell yeah.
We drank a lot in the shows the last 2 days.
Yeah, more than I'd like, honestly, but...
About the amount that I like.
About the amount that you like?
Yeah, we're back in studio tomorrow, though. It's been so long. It's been since Monday. So before we go to garbage time, so I got my cat yesterday.
You did get your cat?
Yeah, we named him Gray. She called him, the lady who found him, named him Lucky.
Okay.
Joseph would not call him Lucky. He just started calling him Gray because he's gray. So it's just kind of stuck now. I'm like, I guess we're just, you know, whatever the three-year-old wants, the three-year-old gets. But it's awesome.
Gray's a good name.
Dude, I'll tell you, I wasn't sure about this decision, Paul. I wasn't sure.
Until?
He slept on my shoulder today while I played MLB The Show. He's 2 pounds.
He's eight weeks old.
I'm very much in love with a cat. Now I'm a cat person now.
Yeah, they're the best.
It took less than 12 hours.
Easiest pet in the world.
I'm here. Meow. Joel's looking at me.
Joel thinks it's unmanly to have a cat.
Joel and his 50 dogs.
Yep. Yeah, you know. that's called animal hoarding.
All right, but yeah, so I got my cat and I feel great. Mm-hmm. See, now this is something, a bond that we have now. Paul and I can send each other cat pictures and just be great friends.
Yeah.
Even better friends. We go, Gallant and George can grow as friendship. It says Jeremy and him are not getting cats. That's not up to you. Just like this wasn't really up to me. Oh, he's allergic to cats.
Oh, see, this is like all people that hate cats are generally allergic to cats, and they're just very irrationally angry about the fact that some people like cats.
We'll find out what's going to happen. I thought I was allergic to cats. So far, so good. I thought it was a very minor allergy. Haven't sneezed once. That feels like a positive.
I'm allergic to having my life determined by an animal that I would need to, you know, take out to go to the bathroom 3 times a day.
I will say, he's 8 weeks old. He's using the litter box already. And, like, it blew my mind. Like, it honestly, like, I... like
so all you gotta do is put him in
being
there.
Being a dog person...
They know right away.
Like, it blew my mind.
It's crazy. I mean, I had a dog. I loved Grizzly. He was the best. But it took such a long time to potty train him.
Yeah.
And again, like, I never had a dog before, but we worked very hard on it. It took about a year and 2 months to get him to, like, to be good at it. And then he became the best at it. Like, he was great at holding it. But...
it's tough.
It is hard to potty train. I can't even imagine what it's like for a human.
Not going well. That kid
That
kid sat in the toilet for 30 minutes today, just sitting there, didn't go once. It is not going well. Joel's laugh is not going well. I'm trying my hardest.
He's been down that road before.
I'm trying my hardest. It's not going well. All right, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Delta airline workers are in hot water. Why? Because they were heaving containers containing Eastern Tennessee State University's golf clubs for their college golf team on the tarmac. I said tarmac.
Don't either.
A quote from Delta. This is the worst thing I've ever read. Quote, "We apologize to the ETSU golf team and ask for a mulligan on how their equipment was handled."
Yeah, I
That is the worst thing ever. Guys, this is not the time for a pun.
No, it's a time just to apologize. I don't think any of the clubs broke, but I saw the video, and
that happens a lot when your bags are checked, so be careful what you put in your checked bags.
And I understand why, and I understand that the people doing the job are probably miserable, so I don't blame them.
I do.
Because
it's your job.
A job to have a job.
If you have a job, though, you should do your job well.
But it doesn't work
that
way.
You're paid for it.
Mm-hmm. But, like, are they making $7 an hour?
I don't know.
Like, is it their fault or is it the company's fault?
I mean, if you're being an a-hole, it is your fault.
And they are being an a-hole.
If you're throwing the stuff, you're being an a-hole. It's your job to put it on there. I get it. It's a crap job.
Yeah.
Is that...
No, for sure.
Is that your employer's fault that you have that job?
I mean,
job?
If they underpay you so bad, it's tough. But, yeah, I
mean, again...
Yeah, I know.
That's why
tough.
You work hard so that you can get good jobs. Whatever. That's just me.
Yeah. It's a bad, bad look. And the apology, that's even worse. I think the apology's worse.
The saying...
By trying to make a joke out of it,
asking for a mulligan, like,
yeah.
Go F yourself, Delta.
Yeah.
A car caught fire at Dodger Stadium in the parking lot.
Okay.
And the organist played "We Didn't Start the Fire"
as
the smoke billowed. I like it.
Good move.
But that is very Dodger Stadium parking lot.
We need the organist to come back. Get rid of the DJs.
Is there an organist at Minute Maid Park?
I don't think so.
I would assume there is.
I think, if anything, they play the organist through the DJ.
Okay.
I think the only organists left are Dodger Stadium, Wrigley. There's only a couple. Some of them are newer ballparks, too. But, like, there's only a handful that have, like, the pure organist that does stuff throughout the game. It's one of the great baseball things.
Want to know the biggest difference between Irish Americans, like me, and Italian Americans? Well, Aiden O'Connell... Irish American hero, quarterback that wasn't talked about last year, despite being a great Irish American hero. He stopped wearing number 4 with the Raiders to respect Derek Carr.
There we go.
Meanwhile, Tommy DeVito, he when asked about the quarterback competition he's about to have with Drew Lock for QB2 in New York, said that, "I'm not sure we'd be talking about a competition for number 2 if I was a 3rd-round pick."
Wow.
Am I generalizing two different groups of Americans based off of two different stories about two different quarterbacks who were covered in two totally different ways, even though one of them, Aiden O'Connell, was better than Tommy DeVito? Yes.
But do
Irish Americans versus Italian Americans. Point Irish Americans.
Yep, I stand with the Irish as well. 75% of me does. So
I go to Shillelagh.
Team Aiden O'Connell in this situation.
There you go.
I'm pretty confident he would have been better than Gardner Minshew this year, but...
Gardner Minshew, man.
I don't really know why the Raiders are doing that.
I mean, I think that Aiden O'Connell's got a chance still.
I hope so. All right, that does it for us today. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. Thanks again to Gus and Cecil and everyone out here at Texas Star Grill Shop. We had a great time today. Come check it out. Lots of great deals going on for Memorial Day weekend. Free delivery in the greater Houston area. Come check it out. There's so much good stuff here that you can buy and add to your home. We will be back tomorrow. In studio, goodbye.
Peace!
ESPN 97.5.